next Sunday. It's going to be a good time. We're all going to be together. We'll probably have some cake and we'll definitely have some coffee. So I just want to be sure and invite everybody to that. Also, June 28th, this is our downtown outreach that we go downtown, and we're going to be making up a bunch of sack lunches, and so we're going to do something a little different this time. We've been making them up on Saturday. This time, we're going to make them up Sunday after church, and the more people that we have here, it's just we're going to have everything here ready for you, and so just immediately after church, if you want to help put together some sack lunches, and then Bill will distribute them downtown to the homeless later on in the afternoon. But if you want to help with that, that would be awesome. That would be just a wonderful thing. And I'm sure that everybody downtown would appreciate that also. So let's go ahead and get to our study. I want to welcome you to the second week of our new series that we've been going through. It's called We Are Family. And it's such an awesome time this morning to see, after everything we've been going through with not having church for a while, and now we are having church and we're slowly building back up, to finally see humans out there. And so it's just such a wonderful thing. I got to tell you that you really are family. And so it just really feels good. So as we go through this series, last week we talked about what is the church? Because a lot of times we don't ask questions like this, and sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what is the church? And especially with the stay-at-home thing, I've been talking to quite a few people and have a lot of self-inspection myself. And, why do we even have to come to church? You've heard me teach, it's not an issue of salvation or anything like that. So why can't we just stay at home, put on our little bunny slippers like we do, log into TV or log into your laptop or log into your phone and just watch or listen to the message from home? Well, last week we answered that question. And so if you haven't heard last week's message, it is online. You can go to Calvary Chapel online and you can listen to that. But we answered that last week. We listed four biblical benefits of belonging to a local church. Not just, being at a church, but belonging to a local church, coming together as a family, coming together to worship, coming together to sing songs, coming together to praise the Lord, coming together to study, coming together to worship. And so we listed those benefits. And so this week, week two, I want to take a little more look at it, maybe a little more of a kind of a fundamental message today. Last week we talked about what's the benefit? Why should I come to church? Why should we do this? You can take your Bible home, you can read it at home. So why should I do that? So this week we want to talk about, what's the purpose? Why do we gather together? Why do we come together? I love it. It's fun. It's comforting. It's joyous and everything. But, why do we come together? What's the purpose of the church? And get this. This is why you want to take notes today. This is why you want to pull your pencils out. This is why you need your highlighters out. This is why you need your Bible out here. Here's why today's message is so important today. When we answer this question today, and we will, what's the purpose of the church? We are also going to answer the question, what am I here for? When we answer that question, we're going to find out that it is, what am I here for? Because sometimes we do that in life. We what on God's green earth? Why am I here? What's my meaning? What's my destiny? What's the purpose of me being here? And so now at Calvary Chapel West Wichita, what we do in our church is we model everything that we do from the Bible, what we find in the Bible, what we believe. We believe the Bible to be one thing. It's the inerrant, infallible, faithful, powerful Word of God. It's everywhere. It's everything. It's God's main way to communicate with us as humans right now is through the Bible. So we don't make this stuff up, and I don't think a lot of churches do either, a lot of Christian churches, but sometimes there'll be maybe some churches, and it seems like they kind of put things together so that they'll have more members. Well, if we do this, and if we have rides outside, if we had a couple ponies and stuff, we could probably get some more members. And or they might have something going on when they say, you know, they do that. And they're going to, because they're trying to get more money. Just plain and simple, they're trying to get more money. Or maybe it's some kind of a marketing campaign that if we do this and we send out mailers and we invite everybody in, we're going to have more marketing campaigns coming in. We're going to have more people come into our church. But so what we do here comes from God's Word. So for the next month, we're going to be talking about this and we're going to be asking questions like, you know, why do we have church? Why do we come to church? Why do we do this? Why do we fellowship with each other? And we're going to be discovering what is the church. What exactly is the church? And today, what I want to kind of focus in is bring it into a little better focus than anything. What am I here for? Why are we that are sitting in these chairs today, why are we? Why are we a part of this body? Why are these, you know, people that are listening to this today? It's like, you know, why am I not a part of a local church? Or why am I not a greater part of a local church? And it doesn't have to be this church. I mean, it can be any believing church, you know. What am I here for? And so when you answer that question, what's the purpose of the church? You're going to answer that other question, why am I here? And it's not so much, why am I here in this building? Why am I here at this service or anything like that? It's, why am I on earth? Why did God create me? There's got to be a reason for it. Yeah. So after all, we learned last week that you are the church. So whatever happens within the church or whatever happens as the purpose of the church, we're talking about you. We learned last week already that you are the church, and without you, this building or what, this is just a structure. When we leave here, there's no spiritual enlightenment within this building. This is just a structure. We learned without you, especially this morning, you know, that music, it's just a song on the radio. Unless we come together as a body and we come together and we praise and glorify the Lord, you know, it's just a song is all it is. Without you, ministry is just an unfulfilled need. That on our downtown outreach, that there's going to be a line of people and they're there every Sunday and they're waiting for lunches and it's just going to be an unfulfilled need without you. So if you would, open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is where we're going to start at. New Testament. Don't be ashamed if you don't know where the New Testament is. It's towards the end of the book, so go to Acts. And if you were going somewhere, if you're going to Alaska, you probably wouldn't feel bad about opening up a map and finding your way there. So don't feel bad about opening up your Bible and finding your way there. We're in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 2, verse 42. You may have noticed when you walked into this building here, as you walked into this sanctuary right here, that above those doors out there is this scripture, Acts 2:42. And we placed it there almost 14 years ago. Because that scripture, that verse that follows it and everything that we're going to talk about today, it's kind of lists the basic, I'm going to say fundamentals or foundation of the very first Christian church, the one we're going to talk about today, the very first Christian church. And listen to this, really, Christianity itself. It's kind of the fundamental, the very foundation of it. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Sharpen your pencils. Verse 44, and says, "All who believed," church, who is all? All, that means everybody. "And who believed, and all who believed were together and had all things in common." All means all. Verse 45 says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, the proceeds to all, as had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And think about that just a little bit. Having favor with all people, that means everybody liked them. That means they were good people. They were honest people. They had great character. You could trust them. You know, whatever they would say, you could trust them. And when it says with having favor with all people, it didn't mean just their other brothers and sisters in Christ. All means all. That means everybody out there. It didn't matter about the color of their skin. It didn't matter whether they were rich or poor. It didn't matter if they were male or female. It didn't matter of any of those things. They were having favor with all people. They were good people. And it said, and the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. That sounds like an amazing church. That sounds like an amazing time. So throughout life, we do that in our own lives. You know, we ask this question, why am I here? Sometimes it's, you know, just happens at different parts of your life. But you say, why am I here? What's my purpose on life? Is my whole purpose that I'm going to be a mom? Is my whole purpose that I'm going to be a dad? Is my whole purpose in being the reason I was created that I would be a homemaker or I would be the breadwinner, you know? Or would I be a CEO of a great company or a laborer on a construction crew or something like that? Why am I here? And so the purpose of the church, you guys sitting here, you guys at home, the purpose of the church is simply to help you do what God has put you on this earth to do. This building, Calvary Chapel, West Wichita, and many other Christian churches, the purpose is just to help you do what God has put you on this earth to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And it begins with the very first church. And it's going to continue until Christ returns for his church. That's the purpose of us, the church, is to do what God has put us on this earth to do. So our goal at Calvary Chapel West Wichita is to help you find a place, to help you find your way, because there could be a lot of things involved in it, but to help to find your way where you fit in within the body of the Lord. So that was the purpose of the church back then. We just read it in Acts 2:42. That was the purpose in Jerusalem church over 2,000 years ago. That was their purpose, to come together. The purpose of Calvary Chapel, of you and I today, it's the same thing. There's nothing new. We're not trying to change anything. We're not trying to say the church has a different purpose. Now, it's all the same thing. It's not some kind of catchphrase that we invented or anything like that. It's not any of that kind of stuff. But the direction, or the purpose, or the function of the local church has always been, and if you want, write these down because you'll want to look at that, but we're going to go over these five attributes of the church. When we ask, because we are the church, and we're going to go over these five attributes of the church, I'm going to give them to you right now. Number one, it's going to be worship. We just did that. It was awesome, was it not? That was worship. That was great. Fellowship. Number two is fellowship. We're doing that right now. We'll be doing that next Sunday when we have cake. Discipleship. When we study the Bible, we're doing that. Ministry. We're doing outreach. And outreach, we're going to go out and witness to the world out there. So these are the attributes that apply to the church, which applies by default to each one of you. These are attributes that should be in your life. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and outreach. And so let's talk about worship just a little bit. And I'm going to go to a few verses to kind of build this case up a little bit. You don't need to turn there. You can just put a note on the side. But Revelation 4, 11, he writes and it says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." And he writes, "For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." God has created me. God has created you. Everyone that's ever been born, everybody that's going to be born, God has created us for his good pleasure, that he would enjoy. And it's not the other way around. And a lot of times we kind of think that, and I definitely in my life have acted like that before, that God was there to either get me out of trouble or to bless me when I'm being good. And we was actually, we have been created for His good pleasure. It's not the other way around. He doesn't exist for my blessings and my purpose. You and I were created so that He could share His love with us. And it's about as simple as that. We were created that He could share His love with us. Because if not, He's got everything else. He could do everything else. He doesn't need anything. He owns all the cattle in the field and everything. So He doesn't need anything. So if He wouldn't have done it so He could share His love with us, He wouldn't have created us. Let me kind of give you an idea. How many people in here, raise your hands in this room if you're a parent? A lot of parents out there. A lot of kids out there. And do you take pleasure in your children? We like them. Yeah, we like those kids. Most of the time. Yeah, not all the time, most of the time. But you know what, I can remember my son, and man, I thought he was so special and everything, and that was probably mostly when he was sleeping, you know? But it was just like, you know how when your kids are and they're sleeping, and you remember, and they're little baby infants, and they're just in bed, and they're tucked in, and you kind of sneak into their rooms at nighttime, and you look in there, and they're so peaceful, and they just seem like little angels in there. And maybe in the day, you had like one of those days, and it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this child. I don't know. They're not listening to me. They won't do what I say. It's just not anything that I expected. But then they're laying in there so peaceful, and it's just a wonderful thing to watch. I mean, you watch it, and you see their little chest rise and fall. Ah, they're okay. They're good. Everything's going to be fine. And you get pleasure out of that. Like, look what I did. Look what I created. Look what I have in there. And you just take great pleasure out of that, just looking at them. Or maybe they're playing in your rooms and you're doing some stuff in the other room, and there's, you know, maybe you've got multiple children and they're over there and they're giggling and they're in the other room and they're laughing and they're just having a, you know, they're playing well together. And I know that's a miracle in itself, but they're playing good together, so they're so precious, you know. And God created you for those same reasons, for those same moments. And He's saying, look at my children. Look at my child down there. Look what's going on. You know, and not in the sin part or anything like that. But He's always watching us. But He's always just like, look, that's my child. That's one of mine. That's one that I love down there. So He, God, is worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of our worship. Because He created us for that, so that we could worship Him. So listen to this, you know, and God wants to show and share His love with you. And He wants you to show and share your love for Him with Him. And one way that we do that is worship. We were just doing that. Lord, I love You. Lord, I surrender everything. That's one of the best ways to show Him honor and glory, is to worship Him. So worshiping God, that's a healthy attribute of loving God. Remember last week we talked about a little bit about this, and Jesus is walking down the street. This is kind of my paraphrase of the story because we've kind of covered this. But Jesus is going down the street. This Pharisee walks up to Him and he asks Him, and he says, Lord, what's the most important commandment in the whole Bible? And Jesus says, these are my words, not His, but he says, well, I can summarize the Bible, the whole Bible, in just two sentences. And He says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And oh, by the way, love your neighbor like yourself. Love, love, love. He said, love God, love your neighbor like you love yourself. It's all about love. And he says, what's the greatest? And remember, He's asking, there's like 632 Jewish commandments to follow. And Jesus is saying, out of all of those, love God, love your neighbor. And it's because we are made in the image of God, and we have been created for His good pleasure, our greatest attribute, or one of them, is to show love and to show worship to God. And be sure you get this and understand it and everything. We can do it through music. playing music, singing music, anything like that. You can do it through meditation. Just being silent and being still and listening to that small, quiet voice. What's God got to say? What's he saying? Normally, you know, we're talking to God. This sometimes, you know, you can worship him through meditation. You can worship him through prayer. Just honor him, glorify him. Speak about how awesome he is. You can worship him through your job at work. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Just do the best you can. You can worship God that way. Or at play. Maybe you're a sports person or something, you know, and you can be a good player. You can be a good team player. You can be a good leader. You can worship him that way. So when we ask those questions and we talk about that a little bit, so you know, what am I here for? We are here to worship God. That's why he created us, so that we can worship him. He's worthy of it. So we are here, number one, that we are here to worship God. The second attribute of a believer is fellowship. The second attribute is fellowship. God has brought me and you, believers, if you believe in Jesus Christ and his atonement on the cross, that he has brought us into his family. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, it's verse 5. I'll read this to you. And he says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and will. He predestined us. It was like, this is pre-planned. We went over this last week, so we're not going to go into a big detail, but he pre-planned to adopt us. We've been adopted into his family. And the family is called what? It's the church. It's not like the God family that lives down there. We've been adopted into this family called the church. God created this family of believers, this fellowship of brothers and sisters that come together, that he wants you to be a part of. That if you're watching and you're listening to this, he wants you to be a part of this group or the local church. He wants you to be a part of that. Guess what? God never meant for us to live life by ourselves. He doesn't want you to go through life alone. He hates loneliness. He doesn't like loneliness. Think about this. You know, one of the first things that God said, during the creation and everything, he looked at everything and he made everything and he looked at Adam and everything and he said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. Women, no comment on this. I'm just saying, God said it's not good for man to be alone. So he created women. God hates loneliness. We were created as relational beings. We were created to be in fellowship with other believers, with our family. We were created to have fellowship within the church, to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And so fellowship is the second one. The third attribute is discipleship. God has created us to become more Christ-like. We see that in the Bible. We look at that in the Bible. We read that in the Bible. I was created to become more Christ-like in my life. The Bible says that we are to become followers of Christ. And so when it talks about that, sometimes we read about that in the Bible and we see that Jesus was walking down the road and the disciples were following. That's not what it's talking about there. He's not saying for us, you know, literally, that we're followers of Christ. It's metaphorically that we are to follow Christ, that we are to be like him. If we see Christ do this, we'll follow him and we'll do the same thing, or we would walk the same way that he's walking, not so much in his footsteps, but so much in his purpose and his life, that we are to be a disciple, and that word just really means learner or student. And so that's what he's created us to be, disciples, that we should follow Christ, that we should be like him, that we should imitate him. When they first come out with, back at this time, when they first come out with the word Christians, it was a derogatory term because they were saying, you know, you're like that Christ guy. You're like little Christians. You know, you want to be just like him. For us, that's a good thing. So Romans 8:29, here's what it says there. It says, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to follow Christ, to be Christ-like, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Why am I here? Why did God create me? What's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing in life? What's all this about? So one of the things, one of the attributes you need to look at in your life is you're here to be a disciple of Christ, to be conformed. And to be conformed, I don't have a hard time believing that. In my life before Christ was nothing, and I thought, because I was enlightened, I would have said, I believe in God and all that. And once I finally met Christ and received Christ, it was just like I was so far away from what I thought I was supposed to be. And so he's saying you need to be conformed, and that's just saying you need to come into harmony, not with peace, not with love, not with the world, not with the flowers, not with anything like that. You need to come into harmony or be similar to his Son. That's what to be conformed means. It means to be shaped, molded, to be kind of made different from what you are and to be made more like Christ, like his Son. So when you think about it that way and you look at everything, it's like life starts to make a little bit more sense. Yeah, we look at it and it's like, okay, we're going through our life right now. We're kind of in a learning phase. We're kind of in a training point of view. And especially for like difficult times in our life, when we have these rough times in our life, God's preparing you. He's working on you. He may not have put you in that position, but he's going to use that position for some good to come out of. So he's preparing you and he wants you to grow spiritually. We're already going to grow physically. We know that. That's just going to happen. So God wants us to grow, but he wants us to grow spiritually. He wants you to grow in character, that you would have a better character. And so he sent Jesus then. He's given us the Bible now that we can look at that gives us an example of this is what our lifestyle should look like. To be a disciple, to follow, to walk, to act, to love, to have compassion like Jesus, to do the same thing. And he wants us to think like Christ. He wants us to act like Christ. And he wants us to respond like Christ. Is that hard to do? It's real hard to do. But it's a continued process that we're always going through. So therefore, we must be followers. We must be learners. We must be studying his word. We must be looking at it. At the very least, wear the bracelet. What would Jesus do? Just to ask yourself that question most of the time, it's like, what would Jesus do? Well, he probably wouldn't post that. I know what you're thinking about. Well, I'm going to send this so that person knows how I feel. What would Jesus do? Maybe he would forgive them. So we're supposed to be imitators. We're supposed to be acting like him. And sometimes we have to force ourselves to do that. Because more than often, we don't think like Christ. We want revenge. We want what's ours. We want more. We want what makes us happy. So that's what we think about most of the time. It's either like, most of the time in my life, it's either I want, I need, or I deserve. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But we do think that all the time. It's like, I want, I need, I deserve. Jesus, he was a perfect human being. He came to earth, he lived a perfect life. And guess what? You and I are never going to achieve perfection here on earth. And I don't think anybody would argue with me there. But we're never going to achieve perfection. But that's our model. Because so often we think, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to do, that's okay, you know, or I'm not as bad as that person. Our model, our imitator, our teacher, one that's discipling us, that's raising us, that's teaching us, that's our model. And the fourth attribute is ministry. The fourth one is ministry. God created you and I, everybody in this room, to be in ministry. You know, one of our models is every member ministry. I believe everybody in this church should be in a ministry. Doesn't have to be in this church. We don't even have to know about it. You need to be serving the Lord somewhere. God created us, me and you, to serve Him and His purpose to go out into the world. Psalm 139:13, he says, "For you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb." I've read that scripture quite a few times, but never quite understood it, and I got this out of it. When we ask ourselves, you know, it's like, what am I here for? What's my purpose? Why did God create me? You were put here to make a difference in the world. You were put here today to make a difference in the world out there. You were put here to make a contribution, and it may, you know, maybe nobody in the world will know what you've done. But you were here to change a life, maybe one life or maybe 1,000 lives, but you were here to make a contribution. You were here to make an impact on either your life or somebody's life. But you're here to make a difference. You're here to serve God. God planned you to do certain things in your life. He has a plan for you to do things. God wants to be a part of making this world better, and He's going to work through you to do that. God formed you in the womb to serve Him. And so many times we would say, you know, when we talk about that, it's like, well, how can I serve God now that we're here? He's invisible. Jesus is risen. So how do we serve Him? He doesn't need my help. He's got all power, strength, and everything. How am I going to, what can I do that would help God? What is the one thing that God would like me to do? You serve God. Listen to this. You serve God by serving other people. You serve God. That's what He's, we're like a conduit. We're like one of the metal conduits that power and wires run through. And the power and the strength of God comes down, and it comes through us, and it comes out of us, not to make us like a superhero, but it comes out of us so that we can serve other people. And I know a lot of people, and I thought this too, and you're probably saying, you know, well, Pastor Brian, you know, that might be God's plan when He formed me in the womb. But if your life is anything like my life is and was, I really messed up God's plan. Yeah, it didn't quite. I didn't know that I was supposed to go this direction, and I went that direction. And I look at my life and think, God, I made a lot of mistakes. I know God had a plan, and He formed me and everything, but I come out, and I just didn't know about it, and I made a lot of mistakes in my life, maybe too many. But let me read this. Let me read that again to you and make sure that you get it. It says, first He formed your inward parts. And I don't think He's talking about first He formed your kidneys and then your lungs or anything like that. He said, first He formed your inward parts, like your heart. He says, I'm going to make you who you are. That part of you that lives forever, that's eternal, that's your inward parts. And He says, first, you know, it's like your heart, your soul, your personality, how you act. He said, first He did that. First He knitted them together. Then He put all of this stuff together and He made a body out of that. And so do you think for one second and all that time that God was forming your inside, your personality, your soul and everything, do you think that He had any idea that as He was designing you that you were going to be doing something wrong, that you was going to be making some bad turns, that you was going to be making some bad decisions in your life? He knew it the whole time. And He formed you, and He devised you, and He put you together, and He created you for that purpose. And He's going to use those experiences. Because often we think, you know, I've been too bad. I just can't, you know, I can't do that. I can't stand up and preach. You know, I've been to jail, you know. I use drugs. You know, you can't do stuff like that. I'm going to find out I wasn't the only one in the room. Don't raise your hands. So He knitted us together, and He uses those experiences. The education that you have in your life, He's going to use those out in the world. The complications that's going on in your life, He's going to use that out in the world. The justifications that you have as you walk down the street and see other people, He's going to use that in the world. Even the incarcerations that you had in your life, He's going to use that for you, and He's going to use that to go out and make a difference in people's lives. And what's amazing to me is what he uses the most sometimes is your pain and sufferings. Do you know how things are going good and everything's wonderful and everything, and you're just like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I'm the luckiest person in the world. And you just kind of forget about it. But when you have pains and trials and sufferings and just crisis in your life, you get some lessons in that. You learn some things in that. And he created you to use that, whatever it is in your life, for his purpose. The fifth attribute is outreach. You got to open them doors. You got to get out of this little holy huddle that we have. 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And know that when we're reading in Timothy, he's talking to a young preacher, a young pastor. And so he's telling him, he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, give that to, pass it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others. What we're doing, what you hear, what you read in the Bible, what you understand, what you apply to your life, what you see works in your life, now that's your riches, your joy that you have in your life. And he says, pass that on. Pass it on to your children. Pass it on to the people that you work with. That's outreach. I mean, so often we think outreach has to be in another country or something like that. That's outreach. That house right over there, that's outreach. That's getting out. That's getting out there sharing us. The Bible calls it, when we talk about outreach, the Bible calls it witnessing or evangelizing or something like that. The Greek word is evangelism is what it's talking about. And it literally means sharing the good words. It literally means just go out and share the good words, to herald it, to go out and tell the world about it. So today when somebody says, you know, if somebody was going to say, I want to be an evangelist, in my mind, the first thing that comes up are these images of like these TV preachers or something like that, or, you know, one of those guys that they go out and they request, they're requesting for a lot of money. I'll send you a little bit of a handkerchief and life will be good. And they're making promises that they can't keep. But a real evangelist is just a witness. It's just somebody that's a witness. God is looking for, listen to this, God's looking for a witness. Makes you want to sing that song. God's looking for a witness. Guess what? He doesn't need attorneys. He's not looking for any attorneys. You know, God doesn't need that. God doesn't need any judges. He's good. He's bad. They're good. They're bad. God doesn't need any of that. He desires us to be witnesses for him. And so what is a witness? You know, if you had to look at your life, what is a witness? A witness is a person that says, this is what I saw. A witness is simply a person that says, this is what I saw. They might say, this is what happened to me. A witness is the only person that can be have the complete authority on their self. You know, a witness to somebody, you can say, well, here's what God did in my life. Nobody can argue with that. It's like, here's what God happened in me. Here's what happened in here. You're the only witness that you can be for yourself. What God has done in your life, that's your witness. He's called you to be a witness of your own life, to stand before the world and speak about your own life. What you saw, what happened in your life, this is what happened to me. This is how bad things were in my life. And this is how good things got after I took Christ into my life. This is how they got better. This is what Christ has done in my family. This is what Christ has done in my job. This is what Christ has done in my health in my life. This is what Christ has done in my finances in my life. That's just called witnessing. You can do that at work. You can do it at play. You can do it at the coffee shop. You can do it at the restaurant. You can do it just about. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it anywhere. It's called witnessing. So one more verse, one more reference, and then we're going to wrap this up. Proverbs 11:30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So let's ask this question. And it's kind of a hard question, but if a tomato, the fruit of a tomato plant, what does it produce? Tomatoes. No big understanding there. And the fruit of an apple tree, what does it produce? Apples. So then wouldn't the fruit of a Christian produce more Christians? So we say, why am I here? We have jobs and we have all of those things. I mean, those are okay. You don't have to be a missionary to some country. You know, why am I here? You're here to do what God's called you to do, to worship. I love that. To have fellowship, I love that. Discipleship, to learn. Ministry and outreach. That's what he's called us to. It doesn't have to be far-reaching. It doesn't have to be deep spiritual or anything like that. He's called you to, as the church, you are the church, do those things, be those things. He formed you beforehand. He's given you all strength. He's given you all power. He's given you faith. He's given you understanding to be able to do this, to fulfill your purpose. He's made it possible for you. And so to embrace the calling is trusting in God and saying, okay, I'm going to do that. So it's trusting in God. To fulfill your calling is the abundant life. Once you fulfill your calling, you'll be calling yourself lucky. You'll be calling yourself blessed. And the abundant life is experiencing the fullness of God. Not just the saving salvation of God, but the fullness of God. So what I'd like to do tonight, I mean this morning, what I'd like to do is just, we're just going to close in prayer. And we're going to ask God that he would help us in that area. So if you're home and you're listening to this, I'm just going to ask you just to bow your heads. We in the sanctuary are going to bow our heads. And we're going to ask the Lord that he would come and send the Holy Spirit and help us to change our lives. Help us to produce what we are to produce. To help us to fulfill the reason of why I'm here anyway. Let's pray. Lord, I just come before you right now. And we worship you, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. And as we get ready to sing a couple songs, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would sing them not so much from our minds or from our memory or from our voice even, Lord, but we would speak from our heart, that we would sing from our heart and worship you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do that in fellowship, that we would be singing with our brothers and sisters, that we would be just hanging with them and being a voice for you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to disciple, to be a follower of Christ, to be a learner of Christ. We pray that you would put in our hearts your Holy Spirit that would give us the desire to want to learn more, to want to understand more, so that we can respond and react more to Christ. We pray, Lord, that if we're not in ministry, that you would find a ministry for us. That it would be obvious, that you would put it in our heart. And whether we have one here at the church or we have somewhere else, I pray that you would place every person in ministry so that they can understand and feel the joy of serving you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us in outreach. That we wouldn't huddle up in this building, that we wouldn't be a church in isolation, Lord, that we would be a church that would reach out into the world, that we would search out as Jesus did, that we would search out the very last one, that we would find, that we would share, that we would be a witness that all you've done in our lives. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.